Our scripture reading this morning, we'll read 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Hear the word of God. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. So I've read 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 10. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. There are many people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. However, they understand neither the Jesus who is revealed in Scripture in the New Testament, nor do they understand what it means to be a true believer in Christ. What they say and the manner of their walk speak of two contrary facts. They do not walk the talk, if you will. Which means they are either new to the faith, babes in Christ, as Paul describes them in 1 Corinthians, whereby they have not matured in their faith, but desire to conform their lives more and more to the image of Christ, who also humbly acknowledge their sins and amend their lives, turning more and more away from sin to living in obedience to God's word. Or they are only pretending to be believers, but are in fact one in name only. Call them nominal believers, or more commonly nominal Christians, who may be described as wolves in sheep's clothing. Outwardly, they appear to be believers, but in reality, they are not. Some wear that cloak of a sheep a lot better than others to hide their true identity, but nonetheless, they are wolves in sheep clothing. Christians on the surface, unbelievers underneath. In the many years since 1969, when I came to Christ by faith and repentance of my sins, as I walked in the Lord since that time, I've seen many people who fit one or the other category that I just described. And there are many times, indeed, I have fit into the first category as I grew in Christ. Then there are other times that I thought maybe I also was a wolf in sheep's clothing, only pretending to be a Christian, because my walk most certainly did not reflect my profession of faith. And others would have testified to that fact also, considering my conduct and my behavior. And it is certain that in every church that there are some, and I pray only a very few, that fit into the latter category of being a wolf in sheep's clothing. And regardless, we don't have to look hard to find those who fit into either one or the other category, as their life will reflect who they really are. And this is the focus of John's first epistle, which distinguishes between those who are truly in fellowship with God, true believers in Christ, and those who say they have fellowship with God, who say they are believers in Christ, but they, by the conduct of their walk, they prove themselves to not really have fellowship with him. They're not really believers in Christ. As we consider what the apostle writes in his first epistle, we will learn how to distinguish between the Christian who is a pretender and the Christian who is, quote, the real deal. Just as the word of life manifested in the flesh is the real deal. who is Jesus Christ, as we learned last week. Last week we learned that the Word of Life, our eternal life, was manifested in the flesh, that life, which is Jesus Christ, was declared to the readers of John's epistle so that they might have fellowship with God and with those who had declared Jesus Christ to them. That was the purpose of declaring what they had seen, heard, and handled. But there were some who had claimed to have fellowship with God, but their lives did not reflect that fellowship with Him, which the apostle explains in the verses and chapters that follow. It was an issue back then. It's an issue now. Indeed, it's a very serious issue now. The ramifications run deep. So it's very propitious that we go through 1 John. And then this morning we'll be looking at verses 5 through 10 of the first chapter of John, where he explains the implications of what it means to have fellowship with God and why it is impossible for someone to say they have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, living in sin, or worse, denying that they do sin. The apostle begins by stating a very simple message in verse 5, a message that he heard from the Word of Life Himself, a doctrinal truth that is critical to understand before we proceed any further. Now, it's not the entire message. It's not a message that was made up in the mind of the apostle or anybody else, but a message that they had heard and received that relates directly to the issue that the apostle is about to address. It's not the entire message of the gospel, though you can draw from there the entire message of the gospel, but he's focusing on an issue here. An issue that he's about to address that deals with those who are pretenders or false believers who claim to have fellowship with God. The message that is declared is that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. It can't be clearer than that. It's real simple. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. And the implications and the ramifications of that are quite profound and affects us directly and personally, each and every one of us. What is declared is very clear and concise, short and simple and to the point, but with far-reaching implications that ought to cause any thinking person to consider in their own relation with God and to what extent it is reflected in the conduct of their own lives. What is declared concerning God is twofold. First, that which is stated positively, that He's light. And then that which is stated negatively, that there's no darkness in Him at all. The second statement will serve, as you will see, to strengthen the first statement. We will consider briefly the declaration found in verse 5 and then what that means for those who say they have fellowship with God, drawing from verses 6 through 10, where we see the inconsistent walk and the consistent walk contrasted. The message that was declared and being declared to us also, as it is positively stated, is simply that God is light. This simple three-word phrase tells us a great deal about God. It tells us that He is the source of all light. He's not only the source of physical light, He is the source of spiritual light, of all truth and revelation. In Psalm 36:9, we read the psalmist declaring in a prayer to the Lord, "For with You is the fountain of life. In Your light we see light." Without God, there is no light. Indeed, without God, nothing would exist. Not only is the Lord the source of our life, He is the life by which we are able to see, that is, that we are able to understand truth, understand His revelation of Himself, and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and our redemption. This light was also manifested in the flesh, which is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, we read of this truth in the first 14 verses of that gospel. He is the light that came into the world. Further, Jesus said something similar to what the psalmist said, but said it referring to himself in the gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Jesus is the source of light, and following Him means that a person will be able to understand and walk in the light, to walk by faith in the truth that leads to life. When the light shines in the darkness, everything becomes exposed. That's why we turn on the lights at night. So we can see where we're going, so we don't run into objects that are hidden by the darkness. The light exposes what is hidden by the darkness, so also in the spiritual sense, the light exposes what is hidden by spiritual darkness. The truths that are shown to us in God's Word. In John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, we see that the light exposes sin, the evil deeds practiced by men under the concealment of darkness. The light also exposes that which is false or a lie. For the light is also understood to be truth. Everything that is not in conformity with the truth, which is revealed by the light of the gospel, by the word of God, is a lie. That which is contrary to the truth is darkness. This is the sense that is being emphasized by the Apostle John in his epistle. God is light. He is pure, bright, unadulterated truth. He makes everything clear by His brightness. He shines forth all truth with clarity, exposing all that is contrary to God and the truth. That's why we require our ministers to hold with all their heart, soul, mind, strength, the perspicuity, which means the clarity of the Word of God. It is clear. God is light. Exposes sin and reveals truth. Just so that there is no wiggle room where one might accuse the light of being even slightly dim, the Apostle states in the negative that there is no darkness in him whatsoever. There's no tinge of sin. There's no tinge of a lie in him. Indeed, there is no such thing as a white lie. A lie is a lie, a lie, a lie, a lie. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. There's nothing vicious or perverted, no spot or filth, no hypocrisy or fraud, no lie hid. We're told in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that He should lie. Again, Titus 1:2, we read, God cannot lie. And in Hebrews 6:18, that it is impossible for God to lie. Thus, it is not possible that there would be found in Him any darkness whatsoever. The very nature of God makes it impossible. God would not be God if there was any darkness in Him whatsoever. And every deed that is not in conformity to the character and nature of God is a deed done in darkness. It is a lie and a denial of the image of God which every person bears. This leads us to the implications of what is declared in verse 5, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Knowing the fact that God is light and in Him there's no darkness at all, we are able to distinguish between a pretender and one who claims to be a Christian, claiming to have fellowship with God, and the one who truly has fellowship with God, which we will learn from verses 6 through 10. In these verses we see contrast with those who do not have fellowship with God, which we see from verses 6, 8, and 10, and the ones who really do have fellowship with God, which we see from verses 7 through 9, or 7 and 9, I should say. We'll consider first the person who conducts his life in a manner that is inconsistent with having fellowship with God, and then second, the person whose manner of life is conducted consistently with having fellowship with God. The person who conducts his life in a manner that is inconsistent with having fellowship with God is described in verse 6, where we read, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Last week we noted in Amos 3:3 that to have fellowship means that two people walk together in agreement. This walking in agreement is further understood in the context of our relationship with God to mean to be in such communion with Him that His interests are our interests. His desires are desires. His way is our way. We are walking in the exact same step with one another, walking in the same direction with the same purpose. Thus, to walk in fellowship is to walk in concert with one another. So with this definition of fellowship, it becomes clear when a person says he has fellowship with God, who is light but walks in darkness, that that person is not speaking honestly and truthfully concerning his or her relationship with God, because he's not walking in concert with God, who is the light. To walk in darkness is to walk contrary to the light, and is defined in verse 6 as not practicing the truth. So how is it that one can claim to walk in fellowship when they walk in contradiction to the light, to God's truth? The person walking in darkness, not walking in agreement with God, but rather in conflict with Him, in contradiction to His nature, wherein there is no darkness at all. In fact, we read in Psalm 5:4 that it is impossible to have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, as the psalmist puts it, in wickedness. Psalm 5:4 tells us in this prayer to the Lord, "For You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with You." God cannot be in the presence of those who practice wickedness, who walk in darkness. Indeed, if you recall from John 3, that those who love darkness are those whose deeds are evil, who run from the light. They don't have fellowship with the light. They run from the light. How is it that when Scripture says that homosexuality is a sin, that murder is sin, that those who profess faith in Christ can claim that these things are okay? They claim to be Christians, but they deny the truth. But those are only two examples. We can make the application go even further than that. How is it possible that a person can say he has fellowship with God and walk in darkness, conducting his life in a manner that is contrary to the light, contrary to God's way of righteousness and truth? It's not possible. Indeed, as it says in verse 6 of our text in 1 John, the person is lying. God says the person is a liar who contradicts His word and does not practice the truth. In other words, the person is living a lie and practicing that which is contrary to the way of truth, the way that is right in the eyes of God, which is revealed to us in the written word of truth. However, the person that walks in darkness will justify himself by making two more claims, which in reality is further evidence that the person does not have fellowship with the light, fellowship with God. John 3 says that they don't want their deeds exposed. So how do they justify their deeds? They run from the light. We find false claims are made. We'll see these in verses 8 and 10, which are similar in nature and expose two implications that result from them. One concerning the person making the claim and the other concerning God. It's actually a statement of how they think or what they think of God. To justify himself, the person who walks in darkness first claims that he has no sin, that he does not have a sin nature, which we see from verse 8. And because he believes he has no sin or is not born a sinner, he will assert that he does not sin, according to verse 10, which is contrary to what we are told from Scripture. And I don't have time to go through the many verses and passages that speak and address to this issue directly. On the contrary, we hear all the time where it is said that people do bad things, but because it's because of the social and economic environment that they've been brought up in or surrounded by, that's made them the way they are. However, when presented with an opportunity to do the right thing, they will naturally do it because man is naturally good. Hogwash. That's a bold-faced lie. If he does anything good, it's because of the grace of God. God says there's nothing naturally good in man. That's what he says. Not me. And I believe it. But doing the right thing in the eyes of man is not necessarily doing what is right. We read in Proverbs 16:14, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And there are many who, according to 2 Peter 2:13, who live their lives deceiving themselves, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. While believing that you can have fellowship with true believers with God, living in darkness, carousing in their own deceptions. But being self-deceived means that they are leading themselves away from the truth. That's what it means to be self-deceived. And it's evidence that the truth is not in them. That is, that God has not come into their hearts and enlightened their minds to His truth. In other words, they walk in darkness, deceiving themselves into believing that they are neither a sinner nor that they sin, because their minds remain in darkness and have not been enlightened by the light of the truth, by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. But more than being self-deceived, we learn from verse 10 of our text in 1 John that those who say they do not sin are calling God a liar. He says that there is no one who is without sin. There are many passages, again, where God has said that all mankind is a sinner. Passages such as what we find in Romans chapter 3, where it says, amongst other things concerning the natural man, that there is none who does good, no, not one. And then sums up God's assessment of man by saying that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is it any wonder that it says in our text in 1 John verse 10, that it is not possible that the truth is in that person who claims to have not sinned? Thus, if we call God a liar and do not possess the truth, it is not possible to have fellowship with God, who is the light, who is the truth. no matter how loudly and vehemently a person states to the contrary. You can't question my faith. Indeed, we can. You speak lies. And you hold to lies. You're self-deceived into thinking that you're a Christian, and you are not. The basis of that is God's Word, His truth, not our opinions of what truth is. A person cannot have fellowship with God and walk in darkness. They are not walking in agreement with God, but rather in conflict and contradiction to Him, in a manner that is indeed adversarial to God and in rebellion to the light revealed in His written Word. However, the person who does have fellowship will be clearly evident, as we see from verses 9 and 10. verses 7 and 9. We read in verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." The person who has fellowship with God is the person who conducts his life, his or her life, in a manner that is consistent with and reflective of who God is. In other words, that person will walk by faith in conformity to the truth that is revealed in Scripture. The person who has fellowship with the light shines forth the light of truth, God's truth, which will be evidenced by a spirit and practice that reflects a desire to have a life that is pure, honest, and holy, as God is pure, honest, and holy. Further, walking in the light is evidence of our union with God, which is the cause of our desire to walk in the light. As Calvin puts it, quote, "Our union with God is made evident by the effect that is when His purity shines forth in us." End quote. And our union with God means that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, has cleansed us from all sin, because God cannot have union with any wickedness, with any filth or corruption of sin. He cannot have fellowship with a lie, those who practice sin, as we've learned from Psalm 5:4 earlier in this message. It also means that those who walk in the light as God is in the light have their sins continually washed by the blood of Christ, since the person who walks in the light understands his own sinfulness and readily agrees with God concerning his sin. He does not hide behind some philosophical mumble-jumble or psycho-babble that we hear so often these days to cover up or justify his sin, but confesses his sins always, as we see from verse 9 of our text in 1 John. And because God is faithful to His promises and just in keeping His promise to forgive us our sins for the sake of Christ's atoning work on the cross on our behalf, whereby God's justice is satisfied and our sins remitted, the guilt of our sins is removed from us and we are made clean by the washing away of our sins by the blood of Christ as it's applied by the Holy Spirit to us. Thus, those who walk in agreement with God indeed have fellowship with Him, and demonstrate that fellowship with God in a life that conforms to His truth, where confession of sins are made and the life amended in true repentance of sin. In other words, the light of God shines forth from that person who is in fellowship with God. If he's walking in concert with God, stepping in the steps of righteousness, in the way of righteousness, the righteousness of God, then that light of God will shine forth from that person. But it might be asked, who among men can so exhibit the light of God in his life, which is required in the passage before us, making it necessary for us to be completely pure and wholly free from darkness? The answer is that there is no one. Not one person. No one in the sanctuary, no one on the radio, no one in the United States of America or on this planet. Not wholly, not completely. However, even though as one who has been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, we are not able to fully be free from darkness, falling into temptation and sin from time to time, which we all do, and which is assumed in verse 10 of our text, the person who walks in the light is the one who aspires to the likeness of God, however distant he may be from attaining it in this life. Thus we might say that the person walking in the light, having fellowship with God, conducts his life in a manner that demonstrates an earnest desire to be ruled by the fear of God with a pure conscience, devotes himself wholly to God, and seeks to promote his glory, confessing his sins readily, not hiding behind a veil of darkness. On the other hand, the opposite would be true of the one who walks in darkness, who is not ruled by the fear of God, who does not, with a pure conscience, devote himself wholly to God and seek to promote his glory, indeed denying his sin, or that he is a sinner, or she is a sinner. Therefore, those people do not have fellowship with God. How can we apply what we've learned this morning from this passage in 1 John? Let's learn from this passage in 1 John that those who have fellowship with God will evidence it by the conduct of their lives, and those who are pretenders will become evident by how they conduct their lives also. But more than that, let us check where we are in our own lives with a proper examination of ourselves so that we might have confidence in knowing whether we find ourselves living a lie as a pretender of the Christian faith, or whether our life as a whole reflects the person with whom we say we have fellowship. That is, whether we desire to live a life in conformity to God's way, God's truth, in obedience to Him. And when we fail, we acknowledge our sins in agreement with Him, calling sin, sin, and putting our trust in His faithfulness and justice to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for the sake of Christ's death on the cross on our behalf. By doing so, we will determine whether we are walking in the light and have fellowship with God, or whether we are walking in darkness. And if there are any of you that have determined that you are walking in darkness, not in conformity to the light of the world, and not walking in a manner that reflects having fellowship with God, but rather in continual conflict with Him, rather than being at peace with Him, won't you this day repent of living in darkness and by faith come to the light, which is Jesus Christ, looking to Him alone for the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation, and everlasting life, which He alone obtained by His death and resurrection? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, so order your life so as to conform the conduct of your life, your behavior, your attitude, everything about you, to conform the conduct of your life more and more to reflect the light, to live according to the truth that is in you by the Spirit of God, and seek to know the Word of Truth, which is revealed in the Bible, and ask the Lord to give you a heart that desires to live in obedience to His truth, so that you will be saved. Not so that you will be saved, but because having been saved and made clean by the blood of Christ, you desire to reflect that true fellowship with the light by shining the light of God to a world that is filled with darkness, to the glory of God through Christ Jesus our Lord, to whom belongs all power, honor, and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed we come to You humbled by this passage. Lord, we We know that we don't always walk in the light, but we desire to do so. Many of us do. And so pray that we would have that desire. We know that desire is not natural. It doesn't come to the natural man. We know that there is no good in us, that we don't seek you, according to Romans 3. But we know that when we do seek you and we do desire to live unto you, to walk in the light, it is because of your work of grace in us by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that you would be with us. Strengthen us in your word and by your Spirit, Lord, that we might know the truth that is revealed to us. Lord, that those things that are contrary to what you've revealed to us, what you have called sin, let it be called what it is, a lie. Let us be bold in our witness and our testimony of truth. Let us be bold in our witness and testimony of the gospel of Christ, wherein there is true salvation and true fellowship. As you unite our hearts by the Spirit to Christ and to one another. And pray, Lord, that you would grant us a bond of peace by your Spirit. Peace not only with you so that we have fellowship with you, but also peace among ourselves, that we might have fellowship with one another through Christ Jesus our Lord, to his glory and honor, which is due him in all that we say and do. And we pray it in his most precious name. Amen and amen.